Hello, and welcome to The Retail Week, where we take a look back at the biggest story from the last 7 days. Today I'm joined by George McDonald, our Executive Editor, and Luke Tugby, Deputy Editor. Today, gents, we're talking about yesterday's Capital Markets Day, Sainsbury's. It was a chance, I guess, for, you know, the not just Mike Coupe, but some of the big wigs there at Sainsbury's to really lay out their vision, I suppose, for the next kind of 5 years of the business. And given all, you know, the fallout this year from the collapse of the Asda deal, I guess I'll start with you, Luke. Do you think, you know, it was more tweaks, I think, as Mike Coupe said, than like a proper overhaul of the strategy. And do you think it went far enough?
Well, yeah, as you say, it's certainly evolution rather than revolution as far as the strategy is concerned. But to be completely honest, I don't think they really needed to rip everything up and start again. I think if you look over the past sort of 6 to 8 years, I guess, Sainsbury's has been the most resilient member of that established big four order, you would say, against the onslaught of obviously Aldi and Lidl. And it's only really been around the time when it was buying and integrating Argos, 16, 17, and then when it was trying to do the Asda deal, which obviously has collapsed, as you said, it was only really around those times when you could probably say they'd taken their eye off the ball slightly and maybe let the core business slide slightly. Mike Coupe would dispute that and say that, you know, we only had a handful of people working on the deal. But it's natural when something quite so big is happening, management's time and energy is going to be slightly distracted away from the core. So I don't think they needed to panic or knee-jerk into a, you know, a big strategic reset. And actually, I think the things it was doing before, it will just ramp up. And I think these are good things to be doing. They're, you know, really strong players in convenience. So they're opening more stores, bringing in a couple of new formats, some slightly larger C stores and some stores that are focused around, you know, your breakfast, lunch and dinner missions, which I think are good things. I guess one of the things that really caught the eye was with the bank, sort of scaling back any cash that they're putting into the bank, cutting back on offering mortgages, and that should allow them more cash to reinvest back into that core business. And likewise, Kevin O'Byrne, the CFO, has mapped out 500 million quid's worth of cost that they can save over the next 5 years, which again gives them a bit more ammunition to feed back into that core business, which should be a good thing. Obviously, it's happening at a time when Tesco and Morrison's are improving and building momentum as well. So Sainsbury's is going to have to show it can do that, but that 500 million quid should give them a decent war chest to start to compete a little better, I think.
George, I mean, you were on the call as well. Would you broadly agree with that?
Yeah, I found it quite reassuring, actually, that it wasn't about some big transformation and vision for the future. You know, the transformation would have been the Asda deal had it gone ahead, just a few years after the tie-up with Argos. So what I was pleased about and impressed by was that a lot of it was very much about execution. It was about real nitty-gritty improvements to all sorts of areas of the business and about finding efficiencies as well across the business. So, you know, there was a lot of information given about things like improvements to price, how they're doing on switching. They seem to think that they were doing really well in sort of stemming any loss of customers to Aldi, for instance. They did talk about improving availability, and certainly, you know, for some months last year, I think there was an availability problem. Certainly, anecdotally, every shop anyone seemed to go into, the shelves often looked a bit bare. yeah, I thought it was a good presentation. And the fact that it was quite detailed and about execution, you know, that doesn't mean that there isn't ambition in there. So if it all goes according to plan, it should be a better business.
So obviously, both of you have just pulled out a lot there, and we've only got so much time. So I think one of the things that probably struck me was maybe the most interesting was there was quite a lot of, you know, given take on the store estate. I think it's 125 being closed and 110 sort of being opened. So yeah, I guess coming first back to you, George, what do you think Sainsbury's sees as their kind of ideal estate size?
I think there's a couple of things that I'd say. First of all, you know, there are more Argos standalone stores closing, and they will operate as shop-in-shops inside Sainsbury's. And there seemed to be an assumption, certainly a hope, that you know, people who work in Argos will move to those new branches. So that was good. Now, that makes sense because you get the cross-selling opportunities, both in food and with other Sainsbury's brands, where they're in store with things like Habitat, for instance. So you know, that plays into the money saving side, the cost efficiencies, but they're also on the convenience division, that seems to be being managed quite proactively. You know, convenience has been a sustained area of growth in grocery, and you know, they see ways of refining and adapting their existing model. So, you know, it could be an extended offer or the introduction of Argos into bigger C stores, and also very much a focus on an offer more built around food to go in the right sort of urban locations. So they're going to open one of those. I think the first one is going to be in the City of London quite soon. So again, you know, it's not about swathes of closures. It's about what store model is working for us. Are our stores fulfilling, you know, the needs that shoppers have? So again, you know, sensible, analytical, and if they execute it well, which there's no reason to think they shouldn't, makes sense.
I think sensible is the right word, because that Argos closure number, I think it was between 60 and 70 they talked about, but that grabbed headlines. But this is the move Sainsbury's has been making since it bought Argos. It's moving standalone stores that maybe aren't working or outdated and putting them into nearby Sainsbury's stores. And actually, to come back to the numbers that you mentioned, if you include Argos shop-in-shop openings, it's actually 200 openings, if you want to call them that, that Sainsbury's are looking at. So that does make sense. In terms of what its portfolio looks like, you know, Kevin O'Byrne again mentioned that this is part of a five-year review that Sainsbury's will have every 5 years to look at its estate and what it needs to do. I think the question of how that looks going forward is a really tough one to answer, because if you'd have said 5 to 10 years ago that Sainsbury's was going to be opening Argos concessions inside larger C stores, or it was going to focus on C stores that offer breakfast, lunch and dinner options and not a lot else, you'd have said, well, that's mental. Yeah. And obviously the way, you know, we've talked about this a lot, the way that people buy food and consume food is changing so rapidly that I think that portfolio is going to have to continue to evolve. But certainly these are some good first steps, some good flags in the ground in terms of these new formats that it's looking to roll out.
Yeah, as you say, I mean, it's going to be absolutely fascinating. And I guess just finally, again, both of you on that call yesterday, and of course it wasn't just Chief Executive Mike Coop doing all the heavy lifting. I mean, there was a cavalcade, I suppose. The entire senior executive team was on display. I guess the question there is, I mean, was this something of an audition for the top job down the line? I mean, obviously, I'm sure Mike's earned the right to go when he chooses, but, you know, was that kind of a way of introducing to analysts and to journalists, you know, these are the sort of people you might be seeing a lot more of in the future?
It's a question that he was asked directly on a couple of occasions, and he didn't quite dodge it, but he gave a slightly diplomatic answer, which was that he was committed to the business. There have been rumours out there that he would look to step down next year, and he was kind of like, you know, I've given my answer, but he didn't answer that point directly. Was this an audition? I don't think it was necessarily. You know, Sainsbury's will quite often hold press conferences, and afterwards the rest of the senior team will join and have lunch with journalists. So I think it's something that they have done quite regularly anyway, in terms of giving us as the media that sort of access. But what I would say is that I think Mike probably will look to step down in the next year or two. I think, at least privately, if not publicly, he's always said that he's wanted to do 5 or 6 years, and I think he took over in 2014, didn't he? So that is right now. But the good thing, and you have to give Mike credit for this, is you look at that team that was presenting yesterday. Kevin O'Byrne, Paul Mills Hicks, Simon Roberts, John Rogers, who runs Argos, wasn't even involved, I don't think, but he's obviously a candidate, and all of those people you would look at and say they could take that job, to take that baton and run with it and do a really good job at Sainsbury's, if not another listed retailer. So what Mike has done really well is build up a really strong team. There's a lot of strength and depth there, and if and when Mike does go, he's leaving the business in really safe hands.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Luke, actually. I think, you go to capital markets days or store visits, whatever it may be, and it's quite normal for there to be a lot of the executives there. Mm. It's a chance for them to show their mettle. But it's really important, actually, in creating wider confidence, as you just mentioned. You know, people can hear them, see them, and think, oh, yeah, that guy, that lady sounds like they really know what they're talking about. Mm. I think there is a temptation to view all these as beauty parades. But if you think back to the times when it really has been a beauty parade, it's sort of been pretty overtly stated. The famous one was M&S, when Stuart Rose was running it. And I think if he didn't actually say, yes, any of these lot could be the next chief exec, they need to make a good impression. If he didn't actually say that, he certainly created that impression. Mm. I think it's actually good that Sainsbury's didn't create that impression. Mm. Because, you don't want everybody just speculating about who might be the next chief executive. And then the only other point I'd make is, if Mike stands down, yes, you've got all these good people there, but they're also going to naturally look outside the business too. Even if they might prefer an internal succession, they're still going to look outside. So the idea that the next chief executive of Sainsbury's was one of the people presenting yesterday might end up that way, but I don't think we should take it as a given.
No, indeed. Well, I think that's all the time we've got, so I'm going to thank both of you, and thank you for joining us. We're always happy to hear what you guys think, so please leave a comment below, and join us next week, where I believe we'll be summing up our Tech 19 event live at the venue, so something to look forward to. Thank you.